not enough support for breastfeeding moms. If Annie had been living in the United States, there's a good chance her son would have been bottle-fed. A working mom, Annie was allotted a year of partially paid maternity leave from the Canadian government. Even though she credits her own stubbornness, Annie also believes Canada's generous leave helped. If I had to go back to work right away, I don't know if I would have been able to work through all those latch and tongue-tie issues with my son, she admits. The United States is the only country in the industrialized world that does not mandate paid leave for new mothers. In 2009 to 2010, the AAP accepted more than $1,530,000 from the formula industry, including money from the International Formula Council, an industry-sponsored lobbying and public relations group that has infant formula, a safe, nutritious feeding choice, as its internet motto. The combination of no paid maternity leave for new moms, no regulation on formula-sponsored advertising campaigns, and corporate-sponsored medical societies helps explain why America ranked last, 36th out of 36, on Save the Children's 2012 assessment of how well wealthy countries support breastfeeding moms. Though we tend to blame new moms for not nursing, in our country, it is often doctors or other medical personnel themselves who undermine a woman's ability to breastfeed. Leslie Ott always knew she wanted to breastfeed. After her daughter Ella was born at a hospital in Glendale, Arizona in 2008, a nurse gave Leslie a log to record every feeding. Breastfeeding was much more difficult than Leslie expected. Her nipples felt like they were being painfully pinched every time Ella latched on, and her daughter was waking at least once every 30 minutes to nurse. The morning after Ella's birth, the pediatrician walked into the room as Leslie was attempting to breastfeed. "Oh, you must be hungry. You look like you're starving," Leslie remembers the doctor saying to her baby. The 21-year-old new mom was devastated. "To hear the pediatrician tell me I was starving my baby and had no milk was just such a blow. I figured, I'm so young. I had no issues with my pregnancy. Why would my body stop now? Why wouldn't it do what it was supposed to do to keep this baby alive?" Ella's birth had been difficult. Leslie's husband was out of town, and the labor nurse had become angered when Leslie told her she did not want an epidural, informing Leslie that she had just had a baby and couldn't do it without one, and Leslie wouldn't be able to either. By that point, Leslie's contractions were so intense she couldn't answer. Dumbfounded by the nurse's hostility and mistakenly believing she was only 3 centimeters dilated despite the intensity of the contractions, she found out later she was 9, Leslie didn't know how to respond. The nurse left the room, coming back a few minutes later. "Are you done feeling what natural labor feels like?" she scoffed. "Do women who have natural labor walk around the mall with gold stars on their foreheads? Do they get a trophy?" After the epidural, Leslie's labor stalled. Her legs and pelvis went completely numb. The doctors noticed meconium in the amniotic fluid, and a team of neonatologists rushed into the room. "I couldn't feel anything," Leslie remembers. "The nurse is trying to tell me when to push. I'm pushing as hard as I can. I have no idea if I'm pushing or what's really happening." So when the pediatrician said Leslie was starving her baby, Leslie was already feeling like a failure. The next time she made rounds, the pediatrician told Leslie that Ella's jaundice was worsening and threatened to admit Ella to the NICU and discharge Leslie if she didn't agree to give the baby a bottle. She also told her that if she nursed for more than 15 minutes on a side, breastfeeding would not work. Feeling bullied but wanting to do what was best for her baby, Leslie gave Ella a bottle of hospital-provided formula. When she and Ella were ready to leave, the hospital loaded her up with artificial milk.